All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
The word of God is liberating. What did I say? It's liberating. It liberates you from oppression. It's the word of God that delivers us from all our destructions. That's it. It's when you look to Him, God enlightens you with His word, and then He gives you liberty. All right? Oh, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. This evening, let me continue my topic. In the morning, I spoke quite extensively into the afternoon, and I'm following the topics I was given, and the one I want to take this evening is, how does it go again? Leadership for economic, leadership and economic revolution, yes, in Africa specifically. And we are looking from the Bible's perspective, and it looks like a topic that we discussed during National Economic Empowerment and Development Strategies. Actually, I have a CD. Let me just advertise it. I don't know whether we brought it, but you can go to our website and download it. It's titled Spiritual Economic Empowerment and Development Strategies. You can check out my wife's site, kwm.com.ng. It's very easy to remember. Kingdom Word Ministries. That's kwm.com.ng. Look under audio. You get down to what we wrote as Word of the Kingdom. And you see one of the series. We have a search button there. Just type in SEEDS, Spiritual Economic Empowerment and Development Strategies. We had a seminar a few years ago in which I discussed those things. Now, back to today's message. I'm talking about read it out for me again. I've forgotten again. Leadership and economic revolution in Africa, yes. So I said I am taking it from a Bible's perspective, the biblical perspective. So even though it sounds like a topic for World Economic Summit, we are going to see what the Bible has to say about it. And if we believe the word of God, that word will always become flesh. Anybody who takes hold of God's word, we have that in birth, something in his or her life in reality. And that's why we have to begin. Father, we thank you again for the presence of your spirit. And your people are being blessed by your word, and I'm speaking only your truth alone in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, let me start first of all by explaining something that we all know, it's obvious. And then we'll look at why in the Bible, and then we'll look at what the solution is. As a matter of fact, on this earth today, this earth that the Lord made, the richest continent by natural resources is Africa. I hope you know that. By natural resources, it's Africa. Africa has a lot of crude oil, like Nigeria has, Ghana discovered, Angola has as much oil as Nigeria has, Angola. Angola has a lot of it. Nigeria has a lot of it. Our liquefied natural gas plant in Boni, in Rivers State, I think is one of the few like that in the world. I think my friend said there are only five like that in the world. One of them is in Benin here. And there's another one that we are supposed to have built, just that sometimes we behave as if we smoke Indian hemp. Otherwise, the one in Brass, we are supposed to have built it. All right? I don't know why we haven't built it. We behave funny. We'll pray. You have to keep praying so that we'll stop behaving. So all the cocaine in our brain will disappear. They will disappear in Jesus' name. Uh-huh. Now that's how much natural resources we have. We don't have to talk about things like iron ore. We have a lot of those things. All this one, they talk about Iran is trying to produce nuclear weapons. Most of the radioactive materials, uranium, is mined from Africa. That's a matter of fact. We have a lot of it, Africa. We also have some of the best lands for cultivation of anything in the world. Arable land is abundant in Africa. And no, that's a matter of fact. Africa has a lot of land which you can cultivate crops, you can cultivate all kinds of things. Before crude oil became an issue in Nigeria, we were one of the world's top exporters of cocoa. Until now, Western Africa is where most of it still come from. Coffee, we produce that. I don't have to tell you that gold, most of the gold and diamonds, all right, on this earth are in South Africa. Between South Africa and Ghana, they control maybe most of the gold that the world has. Yes. Ghana used to be called Gold Coast. Remember that? Yes. We have plenty. Plenty of physical resources. Plenty of land being there we can farm. This is another interesting part. We have some of the... We are a continent that has, I think should be the continent that has the fewest natural disasters. When last you hear a volcano erupting in Africa? I can't remember. Or you hear there's a hurricane or tsunami, earthquake. Have you heard of that? Ever heard of earthquake in Africa? I can't remember. The closest I heard to it was earth tremors about 20-something years ago in somewhere around Oyo State. The earth shook slightly. Earth tremor. Africa doesn't have earthquake. We don't. All right? Most of us don't know what they call a thunderstorm because we haven't seen one. Go to where these things occur. America has what they call a hurricane belt. They have a tornado belt, sorry. And you know what a tornado is? When you say a tornado jams a car, all this is your car you are driving. Tornado will spin it, it will disappear into the sky. If you fall, may you not fall on somebody. Even ordinary hail, those little stones that fall at the beginning of rainy season sometimes, those tiny ice cubes, ice pieces, that's what I can call it. Some places when they fall, their size is a man's fist. One day I watched the story of one man in the U.S., it was caught on camera, all right, surveillance camera, security camera caught it. When the hail started falling, it was inside a club. He ran out to come and quickly move his car so that it wouldn't destroy his car. The thing hit him in the head and killed him. When a stone that size is falling from the sky, it hit a human in the head. It cracked his skull and killed him there. It would have been better if he left the car to be destroyed. Go and check one of the plagues that God gave them in Egypt then to have the children of Israel delivered. Was hail falling. These are stones, that ice blocks. They are just like stone. It hits you from that distance, it destroys you. We hardly see things like that around here. The weather is relatively clement. That is, there are no... we have a desert, we have a long strip of desert, all right? But this freezing cold that fries people. Now, let me make a long story short. Naturally speaking, Africa is very, very rich. But as a matter of fact, it is the poorest continent. As of today. The GDP of the whole world, the smallest amount comes from Africa. And by the time you remove South Africa, Nigeria, maybe Egypt, before this, there are crises. Everything else vanishes. Very funny. I first took some 5 minutes or 10 explaining how rich, naturally speaking, Africa is. Then I now spoiled everything by telling you how that is the poorest continent of all the continents. The question is, why? The simple answer is that what is the most important resource in any area is the human resource, not the natural one. And so the behavior of people determines whether the land is rich or the land is poor. It is not what is contained in the land. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? So essentially what we are saying is that with all these natural resources, Africa still comes out to be the least developed, the poorest. Now, that's not what I'm seeing. I'm telling you how things have been. It did not be like that for a very long time. In fact, it is beginning to change. Did I hear an amen? Yes, it is. We are just describing something. I want to get to something there. The question is, why? And there is a reason for it. Of all the countries on this earth run by human beings, of course, animals don't run any country. Of all those countries on this earth, none of them, all right, as at now, is run by black people and was considered a developed country. Apart from South Africa, which was run by white people until just a few years ago. The only country that had a semblance of development I heard when Miles Monroe was speaking is the Bahamas. And he said that one, their constitution was written with the Bible as a template. That immediately tells you something. All the development, let's not lie to ourselves, all the development we see, at least until, let's just say, many years ago, you know, we talk about the good old days in Nigeria, maybe like 30 years ago, 40 years ago, all of them were done by the British. The development in South Africa was not done by the black people there. Forget apartheid. And apartheid was a bad thing. I'm not saying it was good. But in the midst of apartheid, the white people developed that country. So they must have something to do with the fact that some people are black. Yes. And you know one of the things I like about this doctrine, anytime I preach it, nobody can get angry. Why can't they get angry? I'm blacker than all of them. If they get we have things that measure color intensity. You measure it. I see fair people, even amongst the black people. When I went to Ghana recently, that time we spoke, one woman in the market, where my wife and I went to buy some things, she asked, "Are you Ghanaian?" That's how black I am. A Ghanaian person said, "This guy must be from Ghana." And I like that. You know why? When I want to preach this doctrine, nobody can get angry. If I look at the black man and say, "Hey, you nigger," he can't get angry. You know what I'm saying? Both of us are on the same side. For that reason, I can tell the truth. As a matter of fact, historically, the black man was an inferior race. A human being, quite all right. I'm not saying he's a monkey. He's never been a monkey. But don't be fooled. He used to behave like one. And you see the reason. There's a reason for it. It's not in the brain. The white man's brain, many of you may know, I'm a specialist doctor, so I know what I'm telling you. The white man's brain and the black man's brain, the same. Their genes, the same. All of it, the same. The difference between the gene of one man and another man, and even a woman, alright? From one person to the other, the difference between our genes is less than 0.3%. Yes, it's a matter of fact. Genes are very, very identical. See one person to the other, all the genes the same, apart from 0.3%. That 0.3% is why one man is tall, another one is short, one is fair, one is dark. Just 0.3%. So it's not about the biology. And in fact, if you take a black man from time and you threw him amongst, let's say, the whites, all right, and threw him there and trained him properly without discriminating, he turns out as good as any white man. So you see, it is not his biology. It's not actually the color of his skin. It's not. I dare to say, this is my own belief. Barack Obama is the first, what you call black, though his mother was white, but they call him black, all right? Black American to become president. But it is interesting to know he was trained by pure white people, not black people. His father was from Kenya, a Kenyan student that married one small white girl when he got to the U.S. All right? He had a child, then he ran away, which is very common. They do it a lot. It's the reason why they are under and they are not above. After you, very common. They are the ones that go to the U.S., more than half of those boys are being trained by only their mothers. And you can't be trained by only your mother, no matter how hardworking she is, all right, as a society of people, and you guys will be on top. After he left, Obama was now raised by his grandparents, his white grandparents. I am certain, I'm not joking about it, it's one crucial factor that God used to make him a president. Even though now the man behaves as if he's on cocaine, all right? Yes, he behaves as if he smokes Indian hemp, fella size. That is my opinion, no? You can disagree. But that doesn't worry me because Jeroboam was made king by God, yet he misbehaved in the presence of God. So God made him king. But it's interesting for us to note that God had to do that. He wasn't raised by normal black people. Why? I always balance my message. I identify what the problem is. Because we don't have all the time, I'll quickly tell you what the problem is. Alright? And then we'll look, which is where my emphasis is, at the solution. Quickly, what is the reason? It's simple. Sin is idolatry. But the most important thing, which I want to point out, is the curse of Noah. What did I call it? The curse that Noah placed upon these people. Quickly open your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 9. The book of Genesis chapter 9 is where we'll quickly see it. I am going to rush. Please trust what I'm saying. You can listen to some of my messages where you see details about this. Get to our School of Bible Exegesis, the book of Genesis. We studied it. I discussed this there. Now, from verse 18, you see that Noah and co came out from the ark. And then around verse 20 to 22, Noah became drunk. The details was not given to us, but he offended his Ham offended his father. Now, notice from verse 22. The Bible says, Ham, the father of Canaan. That's what I want to emphasize there. Ham, the father of whom? The father of whom? Canaan. Saw the nakedness of his father and told his brothers outside. The details of what happened here were not told, but whatever it was, it offended Noah so badly that in verse 24, when Noah awoke from his wine, he knew what his youngest son had done to him. Ham was the youngest. So he said, cursed be Canaan. Now if you see earlier, Moses told us, verse 22, Ham, the father of Canaan, did something. And then in verse 24, we are told that Noah awoke from his wine. And in 25, he said, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants he shall be to his brothers. He also said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem. Let Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth and let him dwell in the tents of Shem. And let Canaan be his servant. No, are you following this? Shem, Canaan will be his servant. Japheth will dwell in the tents of Shem. Canaan will be his servant. He said, the servant of servants he will be to all his brothers. Now, because of time, I'll quickly get down to it. Who sinned, Canaan or Ham? Ham. It appears like Canaan was being cursed. But the truth is this. Moses was given the narrative. He said, Ham, the father of Canaan. What Noah actually did was to place a curse upon Ham. And that curse passed down to his descendants. And the descendants, there were four of them. Cush, Put, Mizraim, and Canaan. Moses was going to take the land of Canaan. And that was why he was emphasizing this issue of Canaan, Canaan, Canaan. But if you look at it and you understand spiritual principles, you will know that that curse was not only on Canaan, it was also on Put, it was on Cush, and it was on Mizraim. And these, amongst them, are the ancestors of the African. I'll just give you, because of time, like I was saying, straight. That was why most of the slaves taken in the world were taken from Africa. It's because Noah decreed it so. Abraham will go, all right, into Egypt, and there he will get a maid, Hagar. The sons of Isaac will marry, like Jacob. Marry the first one, they will give her a maid. They're only speaking in maids, and the thing exists till today. The other day I was watching something about modern day slavery in Madagascar. Once you see it, it is striking. The Arabs and co are they're a mixture of descendants of Shem and Japheth. They always took slaves from the black people, descendants of Mizraim and Put and Cush. Most of those Canaanites, the Israelites wiped them out. Do you get my point? The ones that escaped are most of the ones that are in Africa. There's a spiritual problem that was upon their head. That was why they have been under forever. Forever. If you leave them alone, they will spoil things. The British man came with the anointing of Shem, with the blessing of Abraham. Are you getting me? And he caused the nation to develop. Then they said, no, we can't be slaves. And listen, they have a saying in Western Nigeria. They said, if you are too small to reject slavery, you will sign up for more slavery. I don't know whether you understand that. I've modified it. But literally, the proverb goes like this. If a man is not big enough to reject a kind of suffering, if he forcefully shakes off that suffering, he will sign up for a harder one without knowing. It's like maybe you are working in a place, just to give illustration, and they say to you, hey, you, when you come in the morning, sweep this place. And you say, sir, I have a degree. Nobody can tell me to sweep, as an example. That proverb says, if you are too small to say that thing, say it now, then they sack you. Then you will not even see any place to sweep. But they say now, all they say, sweep, get a salary. You now say, no, how can I sweep? I'm a big man of myself. Then they sack you. Then when they finish sacking you, you won't see food to eat. You now realize that sweeping with food is better than no sweeping with hunger. That is, by pretending like you are bigger than you what you really are, you sign up for more suffering. I'm bringing an issue. When the black people got up and said, no, we will rule ourselves. The white men said, no problem, rule yourselves, let us see. Shortly after they began ruling themselves, they broke out in war. Started fighting. When the war ended, it went into poverty. The resources, all the roads that the white people left for them, they couldn't maintain. The schools that they left for them, they spoiled them. Why shouting, we can rule ourselves? They couldn't. You saw it. Now, I don't want to even sit. I've sat so much on it now, but I don't want to sit on it much further. The truth is that these people were in darkness. To free them from some kind of darkness, the Lord decreed in the heavens, and it's in the scriptures. All right? He said, they are servants. A servant of servants will be. He said, make them slaves for me. People said that it's the devil. It was not the devil. It was God that decreed it. And the white men came to Africa and bought slaves. Notice this. You know, the white man never raided slaves. You know that? Who raided the slaves? The fellow African. He's the one that will go and steal his brother and sell as a slave. Many of them perished on the seas, trying to get down, of course, on the ship, down to where they are going. And in case you know, you don't know it, let me just explain. The slavery has not ended. Before, they used to take people as slaves. Now people beg to go and become slaves. At least there's food there. Now I want you to understand there's a spiritual problem. If you are sitting there and wondering what's wrong with the African man, I've just told you what is wrong with the African man. The basic problem is that there is a curse working upon him. There are different kinds of curses in different places. I'm talking about this one that you find on the whole race. This is where they come from, things like that. But like I said, that's not where I'm sitting with my message. What I'm really talking about is the solution. I've talked briefly about the origin, but what I want to really talk about is what? The solution. And what is the solution? The solution has one word, it's called redemption. It's called redemption. It's called the forgiveness of sin. Jesus came, the Bible says it like this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever will believe in him will not continue perishing, will not continue under the curse of Noah, but shall be redeemed from under that curse and shall have everlasting or eternal life. So anytime I speak, you know, I was calling somebody today, he said, some people say that, Banky said there are no ancestral curses. Did I ever say so? The way I'm talking, from what I've told you now, you can see there are generational curses, national curses. There are. What I say all the time is, if you are a Christian, if indeed you have given your life to Jesus Christ, you are not under an ancestral curse. That's what I say all the time. In the same manner, I say it, that with everything I have said so far, The light of the gospel, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the shedding of his blood is the end to the curse that was placed upon Ham and upon his descendants. That is, if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creature. Old curses are passed away. Are you getting my point? What the person now has are new blessings that came into his life, that came into her life because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that is why I make bold to say, nobody on this earth is superior to me. Doesn't matter how black I am. That's why I make bold to say, nobody on this earth, no race, is superior to the black man. Not because what I said earlier is not true or was not true, but because something happened at a point in time. And that thing that happened is called the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the shedding of his blood. Once he did that, in heaven they looked and said, the curse of Noah is over. Do you get my point? But there is something about decrees and effects. In America, there was a time an emancipation was declared. They are called Emancipation Declaration. They freed all the slaves. I think for another 100 years, I don't know the exact figures now. Do you know there were still slaves in America? Even though by law they had been freed. After that, there was a civil war. Slavery was supposed to have ended by law. But until 1940 something, they were still discriminating from one white man. The whites were still discriminating against the blacks. Even though the law of the land said they were equal. Until one day the Supreme Court sat down and said, this is what the law says, every man is equal. Then they began integrating everybody. Even though long ago the law was written that in this country there are no slaves. What am I trying to explain? Even though Jesus died and wiped away that curse, until you take that shed blood and by force, he said the kingdom of God suffers what? Violence. And the violent take it by force. Until you take that word and apply it by force into your life, it will appear as if you are still under a curse. Even though you are not under a curse. What am I trying to say? That is the job of preachers of the gospel. That is my job for today. To explain to the people, to say to them that they are not longer under a curse. And that is why I say boldly, and I'm not missing words about it, in a few years, this country will be as good as any other country on this earth. Can you remember Vision 2020? That by the year 2020, Nigeria will be amongst the 20 top economies in the world. Charles Soludo prophesied. He did not know it was a prophecy. I come here to tell you today it will come to pass. You know why it will come to pass? I'll tell you. It is because you and I are gathered in an evening like this and we are saying it will come to pass. My friend, some of them, they are in Abuja right now. They gathered from yesterday and they are saying it will come to pass. And Christians are gathering in many places and they are saying it will come to pass. Listen to me. The curse of Noah that we described, it has come to an end in Christ Jesus. It is your duty and I now to go and enforce that emancipation that has been declared. It's your duty and my duty to let the whole world, to let first ourselves know and let the whole world know that inferiority came to an end long ago. That my people are currently perishing only for lack of knowledge. And that is why we declare the gospel. That is why we go preaching the gospel. That listen, this spiritual bondage has come to an end. Oh God, I want you to hear it again. Anytime you see a black man, say, listen, my friend, you are not inferior to anybody on this earth. Tell him, say, what? How do you know? So that's what Jesus Christ came to die for. If you believe it, come, let me pray with you to become your experience. That is why God, the Lord gave me this understanding more than 20 years ago, when the economy of Nigeria was really bad, when salaries were very poor for people like me. People say, go to America. I say, for what? I only go to America to go and spend money, not to go and look for money. I only go there if I have something to do. I am not going there to go and look for, where is the action? I have never seen anybody that came from America and I looked at him like he's lucky. Lucky in what? You are there, living, I'm here, living. If God blesses me, I can prosper anywhere. One of the men I respect so much on this earth is Bishop David Oyedepo. He used to say all the time, that time, he would say, the same God in India is the same God here. That the same God is rich unto all that call upon him, for there is no difference. That God can bless you anywhere. I like the way Archbishop Benson Daosa used to say it. He said, a lizard in Nigeria will not become an alligator in America. And like I say all the time, people are not blessed because of the place where they are. The place where they are is blessed because of their presence. I said, listen, I am a blessing everywhere I go. So my very presence in this country is blessing this nation. I've been prophesying. I live in Enugu. I've been prophesying and prophesying over that city. And believe me, it's developing more and more every day. There was a time they began to build up. Charles Oludo became CBN governor and released a decree that every bank must have a branch near. There's a way they said it that time. And they began to build branches. I told people, I said, you see, I told you this city will develop. Then that era passed. A new governor came and the governor said, why can't this city be beautiful? And he began to build and build roads and build roads. He's always building roads. You come there now, the roads are beautiful, well lit at night. I said, just watch it. Then one day, a minister of aviation came and said, that airport must be international. And I'm glad to let you know, my house is 10 minutes drive away from an international airport. Let me give you another prophecy so that you know I said it. They are going to build a power station somewhere there very soon. Just watch it. They have not started it, but I've declared it again. Listen, those of you in Nigeria, very soon all your power will be coming from Enugu. Unless you want to prophesy your own, if you don't want our own. But we put it there. By the prophetic word, I face it and I declare again, it will happen. Listen. You know why I talk like that? Because I realize that the curse of Noah is broken. The curse of Noah is broken. All the misbehavior that makes our rich natural resources look like we don't have anything is human behavior, is human misbehavior. Let me put it like that. We are speaking the word of God against that misbehavior. And in a short while, you will see will be the most astute managers of resources that this earth has seen. And it will happen, I say to you again, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The solution is what we are preaching. He said, hearing is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That is, if we believe this gospel, it is made unto us as righteousness. And righteousness, the Bible says, delivers from death. What is death? The effect of a curse. All the curses that have been reigning in the land, we are putting an end to it by the preaching of the truth of God. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? That is the first thing I want to explain this evening. For us to know that the days of the white man was superior. It happened though. Let's not deceive ourselves. It really happened though. You give a black man something, we spoil it. You give a white man, we'll do it well. That should have told you that something is wrong. And indeed, something was wrong. What we are just preaching is that it's not in the biology. It's not in the genetic constitution. It's a spiritual problem. And that spiritual problem was solved by the death of Jesus Christ. And even though it happened thousands of years ago, men did not know about it, so they did not apply the blood. Now what we are doing is preaching the application of that blood. And anyone who believes is delivered. Next time you see your cousin that comes from America, don't even be impressed by the place where he's staying. It is what he or she carries inside that matters. Listen, you listening to me, wherever you are, you will prosper in this life in the name of Jesus Christ. Nde Bakare said something once, I was impressed. He said his house in Nigeria and his house in Atlanta, they are identical. Down to the trees inside his compound. That if you get to his house in Nigeria, you find a tree here. Go to the one in Atlanta. He planted a tree on the same spot. So wherever he is, he doesn't know the difference. That in his house in Nigeria, he has uninterrupted power supply. He ensured that one. If Nepal doesn't have power, he has an automatic backup generator that kicks in power. He does not ever know whether he's in Nigeria or he's in Atlanta. When he said that thing, you can interpret different things from it. What I interpreted from it is simple. If the life of God is in you, it can produce anything for you anywhere. Listen, let me say to you again, here you will prosper. Listen, don't run up and down. Some people say that, hey, visa, you know, recently I went to the American embassy because I'm traveling for a meeting, all right? And it's short holiday, but I'm going for a meeting of my brethren. So, when it was my time for the visa, the interview was very short. It took like less than 1 minute. Less than 1 minute. I'm not exaggerating. Less than 1 minute. I just went in there. The lady just asked me a question. I just said, all right. Before I answered, she just said, your visa is granted. Collect it on Tuesday. I said, thank you. And I came out. So, because of the way the Americans behave, you can't go into the embassy with phones or anything. So, my brother dropped me off at the embassy in Lagos. So, he told me that when I'm through, I should call him. His office is not too far from there. That he'll come and pick me up. So, I said, all right. But the only problem is that I didn't have a phone. So, how do I call him? So, one girl was selling other drinks or card. Just came, what I wanted to buy. And I said, no, I don't want to buy, but do you make phone calls? She said, yes. I said, how much? She said, any amount. Very smart girl. Very, very smart girl. Just say any amount. Because how much do you want to charge? Phone call, how much is it? 10 naira a minute. Any amount, I pay 200 naira. I did not talk for up to 2 minutes. I even forgot my brother's number. What I just did was, the only person's number I have in my head is my wife's own. So I just called my wife. Hey, okay, where are you there? Of course, she was in Enugu. I said, please call Digi. That's my younger brother. Call him for me that I'm ready. All right? So this is why I'm telling the story. One guy now came. He said to me, congratulations. I said, what did you say? He said, congratulations now. I said, for what? He said, you just came out of the American embassy now. Maybe he looked at my demeanor. He just assumed that they granted me the visa. He said, oh, did they not give you? I said, they did. And he said, congrats now. I hissed. I just hissed. Nonsense. I said, congratulations for what? You think it's something I'm going to rejoice over? Yes, I'm happy I was granted. In fact, it was a meeting I had planned for. I told my brother I would be coming. So, in fact, that's why I just went to go and collect the visa. I look at him like, what? Do you get my point? I said, listen, my friend, it's not a matter of congratulations. What is the big deal? I'm not excited that American gave me a visa. I'm a blessed man anywhere I am. You may as well say that, oh, you finally got your life over. You can now go to Ghana and tell me congratulations. You can say, oh, the Congo people say you can now come. Congratulations. Listen, the fact that I can go where I want to go, I'm happy. But don't congratulate me thinking that somebody gave me a passport to prosperity. I looked at the man, and I'm nonsense. He must have looked at me like, look at this one. My friend, look. He said, I dashed him money. He was begging for money. So I dashed him money also. The Bible says, give to all that ask of thee. So, it is money. So, my own, that your congratulations, just withdraw it. I don't need it. Why? Because I'm blessed. Are you getting my point? And listen to me. You say, hey, God, maybe you get small pepper for pocket. No. I said the same thing when I was just finishing NYC. When I was being paid 5,000 naira in a month. I said the same thing. I said to people that time, listen, you're not going to get me to queue up in anybody's embassy for anything. And I meant it. Somebody said, that's how they talk when they don't have visa yet. I said, I'm not looking for it. Did you see me there? Why? Because I read my favorite scripture, the book of Isaiah chapter 6, verse 12. It said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. It flows towards. It is forbidden that I should run for it. It is forbidden that I should run after it. What the Spirit of God taught me over the years is simple. Locate what I want you to do, continue to do it, and declare this word periodically. And I will make all grace abound towards you. You will have all sufficiency in all things, and you will abound to every good work. It's a mindset, it's a mentality. If you have that mindset, let me say to you, wherever you are, you will cause that place to blossom. I'm telling you, you will cause that place to blossom. I said earlier, that's earlier in the day, that listen to me. Just do what is right. God will bring fruit into your life. And when God has set to bless somebody, he's looking for the opportunity to do it.